Welcome to... Okay, I cracked. Yeah. I was like, wait, how do we start again?
Yeah.
Welcome to
the most epic Holly Jolly
Christmas Showdown.
I'm Amanda Figueroa.
And I'm Adriana York, formerly Figueroa.
And we are two sisters who love Christmas and competition. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
All right. So we are entering our last movie of Christmas Reanimated.
Is it really already the last one?
It is.
Holy guacamole.
Yeah. We did two last week.
Oh, yeah, that went by quick.
Yeah. And so if you're new to the podcast,
we are on the journey to find the best Christmas movie of the year, and we're breaking it up into five different categories, which are...
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, which is just your general Christmas movies that aren't in any of the other categories that we have.
They are the leftovers.
They are kind of the leftovers. Then we have Great American Christmas, which is based on the Christmas movies made from the channel Great American Family. It's a new channel, with it being its fourth year this year of Christmas movies. So brand new. And then we have our Christmas Reanimated, which is what we're in now, which is our claymation, animation, Christmas movies, and or specials. And... then we're going to be going into our Hallmark categories. We have two categories for Hallmark. We have Countdown to Christmas, which are the movies made with Hallmark Channel, the main channel. And then we have Miracles of Christmas, which deals with movies made from Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. So, yeah, we'll be heading into Countdown to Christmas next.
Yes.
So... one thing that we're trying to do is our weekly Christmas cheer.
Where we get to talk about where Christmas shows up in our lives in the week. Whether it's physically, emotionally, whatever.
Yeah.
So where did you see Christmas this week?
I saw Christmas. So exciting for me. My mom came back from the store and she goes, "Guess what I got you?" And I was like, "What?" And they have the International Delight Peppermint Mocha Grinch-styled creamer out now. And I was so excited because it's peppermint mocha, which is actually my favorite one. But it only comes in the Christmas season. So now I have it, and it makes me so happy to have it. And nice little cup.
I know. I cannot wait for peppermint mochas to be back at, like... you know, Starbucks and mm-hmm. Dunkin' and stuff like that. I do love me a good peppermint mocha from Starbucks. Oh.
Yeah.
My weekly Christmas cheer was when we went to church on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
It, like, wasn't skin-meltingly hot. It was going to be in the 80s while we were out. So I wore a mini dress with some booties.
Uh-huh.
And under those booties, I wore my candy cane ankle socks.
Nice.
And it just made me so happy because I was like, there is hope for the future. There are some cooler days ahead. I will get to pull out more of my Christmas socks. And one day it will be chillier so we can put on like some peppermint oils and we can just have the windows open. It will be a nice crisp feeling and we'll have hot chocolate and Christmas movies, and right now we don't get to experience it, but
yeah.
There is hope, and I got to wear my Christmas candy cane socks.
That's great.
Because of it.
Yeah.
So, as a reminder, how our episodes go is that we are going to head into a fairly detailed summary of the movie. Today we are looking at Santa Claus is Coming to Town. So if you don't want a spoiler and you'd rather watch the movie first, take a pause here, go watch the movie. You can find this movie on Peacock.
Yeah, you can find it on Peacock. I have not seen it anywhere else. But we also have the DVD, and those I think are fairly easy to get if you really like it and you want to buy it. But if not, and you have Peacock, that's where to go.
Yep. So if you don't want to, like, a spoiler, although this is an older movie, so it's very likely that you've seen it. But if you don't want a spoiler, take a pause, go watch it again. If you don't care for a spoiler and don't want to spend your time watching it, stay tuned. We're going to tell you all about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we are going to head into what we think about it.
Yeah.
So how we break it up is we have five different categories that we rate the movie on, which is plot, main characters, aesthetic, overall Christmas cheer, and supporting characters. And we'll rate all of those out of five candy canes. And we'll just, you know, give you our opinions on it.
Yeah. So, without further ado, let's get into our summary of Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
All right, so let's get into it. Santa Claus is Coming to Town is a stop-motion Christmas TV special that aired in 1970. We begin with a black and white TV commercial showing kids in their excitement for Christmas and Santa, and then we meet Special Delivery Klugel, SD for short, who is a mailman on his way to deliver all of the kids' letters to Santa. He begins reading some of the letters and notices lots of why questions. Why do you come on Christmas Eve? Why do you have a beard? Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
SD tells us that he can probably answer all the questions since he knows everything about Santa, and begins singing the feature song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
You know what I wonder is, like, how does he know everything about Santa?
You know, I was wondering that same thing, but I don't think we address it.
No. It's interesting. Like, does he hang out with Santa, or, you know, very curious?
Yeah. I don't know. He then starts talking to the letters like they're kids, because kid voices are coming out of the letters. It's a little weird, but we'll address it later.
Yeah.
And he sends us to the beginning of the story when Santa was just a little baby. We travel to a very gloomy town called Sombertown, whose sadness is due to their mayor, Herr Burgermeister Meisterburger, who I am going to call BMMB, because Burgermeister Meisterburger is a tongue twister and a lot to say.
Yeah. It also makes me curious, like, I wonder what area they're supposed to be in, because he has, like the first part of it is his, like, Burgermeister is, like, a title. Herr Burgermeister, I think, is a title.
Mm.
And then he goes,
Meisterburger.
Meisterburger.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
BMMB was enjoying a meal when one of his soldiers informs him that a child was left on his doorstep with a dog tag of sorts that has the name Claus and a letter asking the mayor to take care of the child and protect him from the dangers of the mountain. BMMB will do nothing of the sorts and sends the child off to the orphanage. During their journey, the soldier realizes that the sled holding the baby had broken off, and the sled was blown onto the mountain of the Whispering Winds.
Where's the orphanage? Like,
dude, I don't know.
It's not even in town. I just realized that they left town to go to this orphanage.
Hmm.
That's horrible.
Yeah, I have no idea. They also did not address that.
Yeah.
But the sled was blown onto the mountain of the Whispering Winds, where the winter warlock lives in his ice palace, practicing spells and incantations and, you know, like, warlock stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The animals find the baby and it takes him to Rainbow River Valley, where an elf family, the Kringles, live. This family happily welcomes the baby, names him Kris Kringle, and teaches him everything they know, including toy making, because they just so happen to be the first toy makers, the royal toy makers to the king.
Mm-hmm.
They all continue making toys together, but they quickly pile up since the elves are too small to make the journey past the winter warlock to deliver the toys to the kids. Kris vows that when he is grown, he will make the journey. We also learn that Kris has some furry teachers, the animals, and they teach him many things, but the most important lessons came from the seals, who teach him how to have fun and how to laugh. This is where the ho-ho-ho laugh comes from.
Mm.
Time goes by, Kris is a grown man, and declares it is now time for him to deliver the toys. The Kringles gift him his first Kringle suit, which is the red and white Santa suit that we all know and love, and send him on his way. At the beginning of his journey, Kris runs into a wayward penguin who is searching for the South Pole, and is very far from it.
Very far. other side of the world.
Yeah. Chris invites the penguin on his journey and chooses to call him Topper. They make their way to the mountain where they disturb the winter warlock and are threatened if they cross his mountain. So they do cross it and they successfully make it. And the winter warlock is so upset that he was disturbed that we learn that he plans to show Chris his consequences when Chris comes back home.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah, I was like, well, why didn't you just do it the first time around?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, okay.
As Chris and Topper journey towards Sombertown, BMMB is addressing the citizens when he slips on a toy and ends up breaking his funny bone. When BMMB learns of the object that injured him, he bans toys, calling them illegal, immoral, and unlawful. His soldiers go through the town collecting all of the toys, leaving their kids to their chores and only their chores. Chris enters Sombertown and scares everyone into their homes with the mention of toys after the mayor's newest decree. Chris then walks up to a couple of kids washing their stockings.
We're in the South now.
Where he learns that kids are judged by how many chores they get done and how clean their stockings are.
Sad.
Yeah. He tells them that they're going to need to change their somber attitude, and if they do, then he will give them a toy. You better not pout, you better not cry type stuff. Mm-hmm. And at the mention of toys, unlike the adults, the children run and congregate around Chris until their school teacher Jessica approaches and warns the kids about touching the toys and reminds them of the new law. Chris gives Jessica a toy and she quickly has a change of heart. He then breaks into song telling kids about the price of a toy and how they should share their love. More on that later.
Yeah.
We then see BMMB going through the town in a wheelchair enjoying the gloom. Until he realizes kids are playing with toys again. He calls for the kids to be arrested, and when Chris quickly takes the blame, he also gives BMMB a yo-yo, which is his favorite toy. Mm-hmm. BMMB starts playing with it, and then his soldier reminds him of his new law and that he's breaking his new law.
Yeah.
So he sets his soldier's aims on Chris. Chris and Topper escape, and on their journey back, the Winter Warlock captures them when... At this time, Chris conveniently had one present saved that he was able to gift the warlock. This gift melts the warlock's icy heart, turning him into this old man who is happy to be called by his first name, Winter. Mm-hmm. When Winter shares that he was worried he will become icy again, he and Chris begin to sing a song about, you know, one foot in front of the other. Yeah, and I have some thoughts on that one. But they start singing this song.
Yeah, definitely one that just gets stuck in your head.
Yes. Winter tells Chris that they can, you know, help each other out. Chris can bring toys to Winter, and Winter can help him with magic. And then at this point, he gets together this magic snowball where they see Jessica searching for Chris. So Chris goes to meet her near the woods, right?
Yeah, just outside of town.
Yeah, just outside of town. And Jessica had some letters from the kids asking for more toys since BMMB had, like, taken all of their toys again. Mm-hmm. Chris then tells Jessica that she needs to tell the kids to leave their doors unlocked because he's going to have to slip the toys in after dark and after BMMB goes to bed. At this time, the Kringles move on to the mountain to be closer to the demand. You know, supply and demand, they got to be nearby because they got to deliver all these toys.
Yeah.
And the next day, BMMB sees all the kids playing with toys yet again. And he gets very unhappy and says that all doors and all windows must be locked. So then... This next night, when Chris and Topper are there to deliver more toys, Topper suggests, hey, maybe go down through the chimney. So he starts going down through the chimney, and that's where we get Santa.
Going down chimneys.
Yes. The next day.
We can bang a penguin.
Yes. A penguin who doesn't even speak words.
No. He gives a kiss whenever you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, now I see more.
Yeah.
Okay.
BMMB gets even angrier, and when he's getting frustrated, he accidentally sits on a toy that he had taken from the kids. And that just even...
sends him off.
It sends him off even more. So then he takes him and his soldiers and they begin knocking down all these doors and searching all of the houses. He says, if they find a toy, then the whole house is under arrest. But thankfully, this first house that we saw, they had no toys. Nothing but dried stockings, which really makes BM&B happy.
Dry stockings is the way to his heart.
Yeah, he loves when the kids are doing their chores.
Yeah. So what ends up happening is the kids send a letter to Chris saying that BM&B is going to search and seize, essentially. And so they can't find any toys in the, like, under the tree or in wherever he puts them. And so then he tells Jessica to tell the kids, because she's a school teacher, that he's going to put the toys in their stocking. So look in their stocking.
Yes. So the kids are still getting the toys, but at first BM&B doesn't see it. So the next day, kids are still playing with toys, and he has no idea how. But he makes a plan that he is going to just wait for Chris. And then as soon as he enters the house, he's going to have him arrested. Jessica overhears this plan and tries to go warn Chris, but she's too late. The soldiers show up in the town where the elves live, mm-hmm. and they arrest Winter and the Kringle family.
But not Jessica.
But not Jessica.
Which I find interesting.
Yeah, me too. and they also arrest Chris whenever he enters the house. BM&B gathers all the toys and set them on fire right in front of the kids. And at this point, Jessica loses all of her cares. And she makes a plan to save everyone. She approaches the dungeon and talks to Winter and asks him if he has any sort of magic left, which thankfully he does. He has magical corn to make reindeers fly. Jessica takes this corn, finds Chris's reindeer friends, and his reindeer friends fly into the dungeon and save all of them and, you know, help them escape.
Yep.
After this, Chris is declared public enemy number one. Well, actually, I think he's always been public enemy number one.
Always been, but now it's like, you know, he's got a poster now.
Yeah, there's a poster out for his arrest. And so Chris, at this point, now has to disguise himself. He grows a beard, which is where we get our Santa beard.
Yep.
He changes his name and takes on the alias of Claus, which is his actual original name.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all he does to
yeah, that's
to
it.
Disguise himself. At this point, Jessica and Chris decide to get married. So they get married in the woods, decorate the pine trees, and all of the wedding presents were placed under the trees as well. Everybody, the Kringle family, Jessica, Santa, or Claus, Chris, whomever, and Winter, they all travel to the North Pole where they build their castle and their toy factory. At this point, we learn that Claus was still making multiple trips a month, but he was getting so many requests that he had to limit himself to one night a year, and he chose the holiest night, the best time for giving, Christmas Eve. We then go back to SD, and he tells us that even with all this goodness that Santa brings, there are still some naysayers, but he ends with some encouragement and tells us if we all could just be like Santa, be like Claus, and focus on giving, what kind of world can we have?
Yeah.
And we end it there.
Yep. And that's that. There's a lot of feelings that we have for this, and yes. Unfortunately, they're not the most positive, but...
Yes, normally I'll, like, okay, so this was made in 1970, and I understand that I did not grow up in that year.
Yeah.
But I want to know what the heck they were thinking, because I try to, like, separate my 2023 mind from, like, you know, all these older movies and be like, okay, I don't know what, like, the culture temperature is and all mm-hmm. this stuff. But, like, this movie, it was very hard. And I was like, I felt, okay, so I felt like the summary was super detailed because there was so much going on, and it all seemed so intentional, so it seemed like I had to share all of it. But then some of the negative things that I'll probably talk about also felt super intentional. And I'm just like, why did it feel so creepy?
Yeah. I definitely did not pick up on this when I would watch it. And I would watch it almost every Christmas season because it would show up on, it was before Freeform, ABC Family. And then did not pick up on it, but it was probably last year before I even started watching it for this podcast. And there's this one song, and I heard it, and I was like, what the heck?
Yeah, and then once you hear this one song, it's kind of like everything else is a little bit tainted. But we'll get into it.
Yeah, so let's just go.
Yeah. Our first category, plot.
Yeah, so.
What did you score it?
I gave it 2 candy canes out of 5. So.
I did as well.
Yeah.
Why did you give it 2 candy canes?
Well, let me tell you. The plot score went on a roller coaster ride. at first, because I kind of gave it a score before really, truly watching it. Because I knew that it's a movie based on a song, mm-hmm. essentially. Like, Santa Claus is coming to town. You hear the lyrics in the song. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You know, all those iconic lines that we quote from that song are found in the movie. And so it's based on a song, and it's pretty much the only origin story for Santa that I have seen.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'm gonna give it a 5 because it is so unique. And I think a lot of the claymations are so unique in their storytelling. So I was like, I'm gonna give it a 5. And then I watched it, and then I was thinking about it, talking about it, and I was like, okay, no, it needs to go down to 3.5. And then it started to get worse for me.
Yeah.
And I finally settled on 2 candy canes out of 5. And the reason being is because it starts off with the song, I don't even remember the name of the song, but when Chris gives the toys the first time to the kids.
Yeah.
And he starts singing about, if you sit on my lap today, a kiss and a toy is the price you pay.
Yeah.
And that song, just the first line is already concerning. And then you listen to the whole song and you're like.
Yeah, he'll say parts when he's like, when you sit on my left knee, don't be stingy. Share some love today. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
What the heck? Like. The Santa that I know and that I love, he just freely gives toys, you know? He wants to share love and joy and everything. But this Santa in this movie really gives Santa a bad rep. Like,
it does. It gives Santa a creepy rep. And I think what they were trying to do is to encourage gratitude. I think that's what they were trying to do, but it came off weird and creepy. And then after that point, then everything he said is getting filtered in through this new lens, and it makes Santa look like a creep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's things like, when Winter gives him the magic snowball.
Yeah.
It's like how he, you know, how he can see that the kids are sleeping or when they're awake, or like how they're doing, like, how they're doing, if they're being naughty or nice.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to Jessica, I got ways of knowing. My personal friend taught me this. I can see when they're sleeping and when they're awake. Like, I guess when it's not in a song, it sounds stalkerish.
It does. Very
predatory.
Yeah.
It's uncomfy.
Well, and I think the biggest thing that comes from it is the way that the actor talks. He has like this really deep and like raspy voice, and so certain lines come off creepy.
Well, like, and also how they're written are creepy. Like,
yeah.
Well, when he starts, okay, this line. When he starts going into chimneys.
Yeah.
He's talking up to Topper and he goes, "That's fun. What a great job I've got. There's a lot more chimneys to explore tonight."
Yeah, that's weird. What was it? When he's checking the list of the kids. Oh. And he goes, he's like,
"Gotta see if they're naughty or nice."
He goes, "Well, they're all nice.
They're all pretty much nice."
And I was like, ew, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah, so you want to give all these gifts to kids so then you can receive a kiss in return for all the gifts that you're giving out?
Yeah. Well, also, creepy. I realized Topper has this weird obsession with kissing. Like, well, mainly Chris because that's who he converses with. But in order to communicate, like, "Oh, you got the right answer," Topper will jump up and kiss you on the cheek. That's not that big of a deal, but with how much people are concerned with kissing on the cheek in this movie, I'm like, eh, weird.
Yeah. I also gave it 2 candy canes out of 5. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I mentioned that already. I don't think I did.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Okay. But, so where I thought it was good was kind of like what you mentioned. It was the, like, it gave a backstory to all of the traditions and, like, the Santa that we know and love and, like, why he is how he is.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed that because normally, like, Santa, in any other Christmas movie, Santa and the traditions are already, like, set in place.
Yeah.
So we don't know where they came from. They just were there already and we all already knew about it. Where it lacked was the everything that was creepy. Like,
yeah.
I love Christmas so much because of, like, you know, it's the season of giving and there's just so much joy and you don't have to, like, focus on toys and what you receive, but, like, you know, spending time with others and, yeah, giving if you can, but, like, there's other things to give other than, like, toys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this movie, and I know it was aimed for children.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was so much like, oh, if you want a toy, like, you better be grateful. You better be good, you know, like, all this stuff. And it felt so not Christmas to me.
Yeah, it was weird what was done. Mm-hmm. And I had to dock it just because I've seen the other claymations, right? And they, I think, again, the other Christmas ones, they have such a unique storyline and it usually hits really well. But this one, once I watched it over again and I was really listening to it, it felt very much like not okay in our 2023 minds. And that's just because whatever they decided to write, how they decided to write, it definitely for 2023, so how many years has it been? 53 years?
Yeah.
So I was like 40 and then I was like, that's 2010.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So it's been 53 years and so obviously, for that amount of time, it's been around for a while. No one's found a problem with it. But now that we have so many issues, now where preying on minors has become a much more evident problem,
It's not really, like, the coolest message. Like, I told...
Yeah.
I have a little infant, and she was enjoying the movie, and I was like, okay, enjoy it now, but as soon as you understand words, this is never coming on our TV screen ever again. Because, like I mentioned, everything felt so intentional that, like, I was like, are you intentionally trying to tell kids, like, trying to tell them some sort of message? And even, like...
Well, it was confusing, too, because then they had the whole standing before the Lord, like, when Chris and Jessica were getting married, and they're like, They couldn't get married in a church, but they decided to get married in a church of trees standing before the Lord as their witness and the most holy night. So it's trying to give like that angle. And so I really want to believe that they were just trying to, you know, I think we mentioned maybe like rhyme, you know, try and rhyme to the song, you know, get like this tempo. And then whatever they were saying was either pertaining to the original song, Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, or it was just trying to explain to kids in the most simple way possible, like, this is what Santa does. But the way that it was worded did not account for 50 years later how we would perceive it.
Yeah, it wasn't like a timeless classic sort of thing. It's like they made it for 1970 and didn't think about how it could sound later. But I mean, I guess nobody can see into the future, but yeah, it's still, I was like, I wonder what it was like in that day.
Well, I think it could have been a timeless classic. Again, it's been a staple for 53 years.
Yeah.
I think what's happening now is that we're just picking up on something different. And I think it's more of like our change in society versus like
them being weird back then.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I literally, because of it, I read into everything. Like, even the One Foot in Front of the Other song. I was like, are they telling kids to just leave the house and walk out the door?
No.
And, like, I'll be waiting for you? Like, that's what it felt like. But I think it's because, again, I was looking at it all through that filter of that the creepy song, like, a kiss, a toy is the price you'll pay. Like, after that, everything was creepy and weird.
The Put One Foot in Front of the Other song, I definitely just think it's like, again, it caters to kids, saying it's like walking, taking your first steps. It's gonna be really hard, but you just gotta keep putting one foot in front of the other, and then eventually you're gonna find out that you made it this whole distance. You know, I didn't see the creepiness as much in that.
I can still see a creepy connotation, but it's fine.
Yeah. It's just one of those movies where I honestly felt bad, you know, switching the score, but it...
Honestly, after talking about it, I think I could score it lower, but I'll keep it at 2, because I did like that it addressed some of the traditions.
Yeah.
And the history, but...
Yeah.
I probably will not watch this movie again.
Yeah. But I would encourage everyone to watch it still, and like...
Form your own opinions, but ours are right. I'm just kidding. Next category, because I think we could go on and on about the plot.
Yeah.
So our next category is main character.
Main character, and my main character is Santa.
Okay, mine too.
And that's the only person, and I gave him 1.5 candy canes out of 5.
Do tell.
Basically, it's what we were talking about. He's supposed to be kind and generous. Like, that's who Santa is.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that, but he also came off creepy. And I just, after...
And it was, like, his kindness and generosity was, like, wanting something reciprocated.
Yeah. And that's where I felt like, yeah, it fell short. In life, there is a give and take. Like, you can give to someone, and you should show gratitude for it. And I think that's what they were trying to say.
Yeah.
I really hope that's what they were trying to say.
What I like about the magic of Santa and any other story is that Santa is just, like, freely giving. And Santa is, like, not expecting anything in return. And he's like, listen, you're in need. Like, I want to give this to you. Yeah. And, like, this is my heart, is just to, like, bring some brightness to your day, even if I don't see it. Like,
yeah.
You know, I feel like not other Santas in other movies, like, they're not always like, oh, I gave this toy. Like, let me see their reaction. Like, they're just kind of like, oh, okay, this is what they want. Like,
and I just remember this one part in this one where Chris is checking the list of kids, and he goes, well, they're all pretty nice. And I think it's the way that it was also delivered. Is like, he's like, well, they're all pretty nice.
Yeah, I'm checking the list to see if they're naughty or nice. They're all kind of nice.
And it's like,
Are they kind of nice because they give you a kiss in return for their toy?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
And, you know, and he was the main character, but again, he's Santa. I just feel like he could have, like, more to him, but also less to him. Like, you know, less creepy, but, like, more. He didn't have the stage presence. He just gave off creepy vibes, and so I just had to dock him for it.
Yeah. I gave him 1 candy cane out of 5. Mm-hmm. I was laughing really hard because, I don't know, I thought you were going to have a higher score, but pretty much, yeah, everything that you said. And then also, I felt like he had this weird superhero complex.
Yeah.
Where he was like, oh, I'm going to come in to save the day.
And, like...
And actually, like, you're putting everyone in danger, like... You're risking a whole household getting arrested because you want a kiss from a kid? Like, that's creepy.
Yeah.
Like, when you sit back and look at everything and analyze it and think about it, you're like, that doesn't make me feel good.
No.
So, didn't really love him.
Yeah.
And I would love to have chatted with everybody who made this movie and, like,
and I just
take
feel
me
like...
back to the time so I can understand, because maybe in 1970, everybody loved it and everybody got warm, fuzzy feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But right now in 2023, like, this movie did not age well.
No, it didn't.
And
it's unfortunate.
It's not, like, a timeless classic. Like,
it can't be in this day and age, no.
Yeah. All right, moving on. I felt like our moods just kind of dropped.
Sad. So
hopefully, you know, these upcoming 2 categories at least will...
be a little bit brighter.
Yeah.
So looking at aesthetic, what'd you give it?
I gave it 3.5 candy canes out of 5.
Same.
I really liked how the colors just kind of showed the mood and like how mm-hmm. we were supposed to be feeling. So, like, Somber Town was definitely very somber, and it was, like, everybody was wearing gray and black, even so much to the point that when Chris showed up in his red and white suit,
yeah.
like, he got a lecture from this old lady. She was like, why are you wearing those outlandish clothes? You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah.
And he's like, listen, I'm just a jolly guy. and, like, everybody was just kind of, like, in gray and black. And mm-hmm. the elves and the Kringles were just
bright
and cheery and all this
and
stuff.
And you can almost see it with Jessica and Chris. Like, Jessica, there's this one scene in my mind that it's so clear where they're looking into each other's eyes. And it's, like, right after she came to go find him. And he is, like, beet red,
mm-hmm.
like, has so much color to his face, and she is like a ghost, white as all heck.
Yeah.
But then, as you watch the special go on, then she starts to get more color in her tone, and in her hair, and in her clothes.
And then she has, like, that little epiphany where she's like, I don't care, I love Chris.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, she, like, is wearing a blue dress instead of a black dress.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. But I liked how they kind of clearly showed the mood and emotion through
yeah.
the colors. I felt like each town had their own vibe, like I mentioned. Where I did dock it, though, was that it looked very realistic. Like, it wasn't super magical.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that it was a stop-motion film.
Yeah.
So there's only so much you can do, but it was just, it kind of gave realistic vibes, and I, like, it was supposed to be an origin story of Santa, like, mm-hmm. I wanted it to be a little bit more fantastical.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. But other than that, like, I thought it was pretty well done. I mean, I don't live in, like, a small town village where everything is super doom and gloom.
Yeah. Well, and I agree. I think I docked it for that reason. Like, I would obviously love for it to be more magical, but I also have this, like... this special place in my heart for, like, these stop-motion claymation movies, because it's so unique
mm-hmm.
in how they're presented, like, how water or snow is, like, dripping off and lands
on
someone.
Or, like, a
someone.
Tear.
Yeah. And it's just so interesting, and I enjoy it, and it really does transport, because it's so completely different than any thing that you see.
Yeah.
And so, like, they can get away with, you know, SD leaping in the air, defying gravity, and, like, going bounds ahead. And that can, it's not realistic, but it makes sense in that kind of film, and it kind of, it does give its own world vibe.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was fairly good, and I enjoyed looking at it. Again, if you were to just put the movie on and not really pay attention to it, it's actually kind of fun to have it, because, again, you see the aesthetic of it, the music, and it seems fairly jolly.
Mm-hmm.
While you're not paying attention to it, and then once you start to focus on it, then it gets a little crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought, and that's also why I gave it, like, 3.5, was because, like, for a claymation, stop motion, like, TV special.
Yeah.
It was well done.
Yeah.
And, like, it's, like you said, it's just, there's something fun and happy about, like, a claymation.
Yeah.
You don't see it all the time. And also, it's pretty fun to watch, mm-hmm. because now as an adult, you're like, okay, understanding, like, all that it took to make this film.
Yeah.
Like, there was so much time and effort put into it that I'm like, even that alone is just kind of magical.
Mm-hmm.
That you were able to make this motion out of, like, pictures, essentially.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. All right, next category.
Overall Christmas cheer.
What did you rate it?
I gave it 3.5 candy canes out of 5, again. Again, it was all about Christmas. It's all about how Santa came to be. And I will say, yes, it was all about Christmas, but there was just some elements of, like, wanting. Like, mm-hmm. I felt like I would want a little bit more. You know, I don't know how to explain it. It was just a feeling where after watching it, you're like, oh, you get some of the warm, fuzzy feelings of, like, it's Christmas time, duh.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, it wasn't, like, how the other ones made me feel.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah, I thought it was above average, but it was about Christmas, it was about Santa, but there's still some elements that I feel like could have given it more. Maybe it's an aesthetic thing, maybe it's new script.
Yeah.
Would be good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. You can keep the stop motion, claymation, all of it, and I promise if there was just a new script put over it.
Yeah.
It could be so much better.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it 3 candy canes out of 5 candy canes for overall Christmas cheer. And I agree. I think it could have been, like, a big aesthetic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it were Christmas and Santa had already been a thing.
Yeah.
Then, obviously, I think it would have been different.
Uh-huh.
Because definitely at the beginning, it's like, Santa is just coming to be, you mm-hmm. know, like, Chris doesn't get his suit right away, so Santa doesn't have his suit. I mean, yeah, we have elves at the beginning, but they're making toys, and there's not anything special about the toys quite yet, and, like,
yeah.
We don't have Christmas trees, and, like, sure, we have stockings, but stockings don't gain their meaning until a little later.
Yeah.
And I think mostly also where I docked it was that it's kind of confusing because Christmas is about, you know, giving and not getting.
Yeah.
And there was obviously a lot of, like, getting in return.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a little hypocritical.
That's fair.
I think. So, yeah, that's where I gave it, like, just 3.
Yeah.
But then also, I'm a little bit confused, and this is also, I think, where I get my frustration with the little sandwich going on with the movie. Because at the end, like, they say, like, when they're getting married, like, they mention, like, the Lord and God and all this stuff.
I know,
and they're, like,
and
giving
so
those presents to God and, like, pointing back to Jesus and, like,
and that's
the sacrifice,
I think,
and everything.
It wasn't meant to come off in the way that it did, but somehow the people who made it and wrote it didn't find it problematic then, and then now it is.
Yeah.
I really think that it's the way that we perceive it now. Mm-hmm. That's a little creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I was so confused. I wish I could have watched this in 1970.
Yeah.
Or I wish somebody can remake it.
Well, in obviously it's a big one because it plays every Christmas and, you know.
And now I actually think it's a danger to play it. Like,
I think. Okay. Yes.
Maybe that's my mama bear coming out or something. I feel very protective of children, and I'm like, this is a danger to children now.
I think now in this day and age, that kind of,
unfortunately, we have creeps. I feel like creeps are much more apparent in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a bigger population, so now that there's a bigger population of creeps, like
yeah, maybe this isn't the best thing to have so that kids aren't, like, desensitized to that type of language, but I don't think that's how it was intended.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. I don't think either of us think this is what it was intended to be, but whatever they were doing in 1970 clearly did not translate well for the current time in 2023.
Yeah.
But anyways, so are you done with overall Christmas cheer?
Yep. Yep.
All right, so supporting characters. I gave him 2.5 candy canes out of 5.
Great, I did too. Okay, also to note, like, our scores have been fairly similar.
Yeah.
And that never happens. So, obviously, it's just kind of like there was a culture misread.
Yeah.
Between when this movie was made and now. Because you and I, like, never agree on anything.
No.
So, anyways, why'd you give it 2.5 candy canes?
They were average. Nothing too crazy. They did what they needed to do, I guess. But I for sure had to dock it because of Jessica's random psychedelic song.
It was weird.
It felt like out of place.
Yes, it really did. It gave me, like, very much so, like, going through a trip.
Yeah. Like, my mom said, oh, I'm dizzy. And I was like, yeah. And it didn't fit the vibe at all. Like, no. That was so random.
That's why I asked, like, when was, like, the hippie era?
Yeah.
Because it gave, like, very much so, like, hippie, like, I don't hate, I hate saying, like, hippies or, like, drug people.
Yeah.
But, like, back in the day, I felt like, you know, if you hippies were called a hippie then, you were on drugs.
Like, drugs were associated with hippies.
Yeah.
We're not saying that all hippies did drugs.
Yeah.
You know?
But, like, there was always, back in that time, there was a correlation between the two.
Yeah.
Usually. So it was very, the colors were different, the animation was different. Like, I have this specific scene where there's, like, three outlines of her face just, like, across the screen. Yeah. And then it comes together in one. Like, it's like you're seeing double.
Yeah.
And then into, like, one.
The whole town goes from being, like, a town to, like, this weird colored mess. And I'm,
like, it's like a color block sort of situation.
And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, is this, like, her enlightenment period? I mean, I guess it was, but it just didn't make sense at all. And she had this weird role where she was a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, also, like, her transformation was a little sudden and aggressive. Like, she's like, no, kids, don't play with those toys. Remember the new law. Oh, I get a toy. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, that law is a little silly. I just wasn't saying it out loud at first.
Now, here are some letters for the kids. Oh, now I'm your liaison between the kids of the town and you. Oh, by the way, I love you. And it's just very harsh on her, like, character arc.
Yeah.
The winter warlock. Also very aggressive, but his makes a little bit more sense. Like, no one ever gave him a toy, but also if you're a horrible creature to everyone, would they want to give you a toy?
Don't allow anybody near you.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he's, like, cracking jokes. And then he loses his magic, like, just like that?
Yeah, because he became a nice dude.
I was like, that's rude.
He loses his magic. But then he does rediscover it.
Yeah.
But honestly, Winter might have been, like, the only reason that I gave 2.5 candy canes. Yeah. And I think the animals. Like, I liked that the animals...
Why were the seals there?
Why...
Why were the seals there? They were in the middle of the forest. They were in the middle of the forest. You're telling me a seal swam all the way through a river?
Okay, no, but it was a magical rainbow river. It was the Rainbow River Valley.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe there was magic in it. I don't know. But why did they play such a big role? I liked the animals because I'm an animal person.
Yeah.
But why? Because also, okay... Okay. So, when they mentioned that, like, oh, he had other teachers other than, like, the elves, the animals also taught him stuff. They didn't say anything. They just said the seals gave him the most important lesson of all, and that's to have fun and to laugh. But then later, when he is, like, running away from Burgermeister Meisterburger...
Mm-hmm.
Like, they say that...
Oh, he can climb the tree like a squirrel?
Yeah, he climbs like a squirrel, leaps like a deer, and is as slippery as a seal. And I'm like, oh, okay, so, like, that's where we get lessons from the animals? Like...
Yeah.
So, what? I feel like it could have possibly tied in earlier, but, like, it didn't.
And then I feel like the Kringles... They only were relevant because they were the elves.
Mm-hmm.
And that they were toy makers. But, like, other than that, they like, played a big part at the beginning. And then you don't really hear from them ever again. Except for the fact that you know that they make the toys.
Yeah.
And... Yeah.
Okay. Should I change my score again? I'm just kidding. But I really did like Winter. I'm trying to find one of my notes of, like, what I liked about Winter...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought it was funny when, like, Jessica goes to visit him in the dungeon, and he's like, I've lost all of my magic. You know, I have all these weird things. And he goes, I have tiny stubs of 100 or so magic candles. And, like, he has all just this leftover stuff and just randomly 100 tiny stubs. I was like... Dude, you're weird. But, and then I did kind of like the part where he's like, oh, I'm crowded. But at least I'm loved. Like, at least he's like, he had this little change where he's like, okay, maybe people aren't a bad thing. Like,
yeah.
Maybe having others around me is, like, fun. Like, gives me the warm, fuzzy feeling. So I liked Winter, and I liked his character change.
Yeah.
And I think it made sense. You know, like, he went from this icy creature, and then he was, you know, an actual human underneath all of that ice.
Yeah.
But then I also kind of hate how they kind of used him as, like, I'm a despicable creature at heart. I don't think I'll ever change.
Yeah, that was also kind of rude, because I'm like, I'm thinking, if you're going to make that statement for Winter, you could also make that statement for every character in there. Like,
yeah, Jessica had this weird love obsession with Chris.
She was obsessed. I will say that. Like, all of a sudden, she went from being just, like, this independent woman that's, like, follow the rules to, I am obsessed.
I'll follow you wherever you go, Chris.
And I guess this is me thinking that there hasn't been a lot of time between when they first met and when they got married. But it just, in my mind, it was like 2 weeks, and she went haywire, obsessed. Like, I will follow you to the ends of the earth. I will kill for you if you need me to. Like, that's the vibe that she gave me once she had her psychedelic trip.
Yeah. Yeah, no, literally, dude. And then, I gave them 2.5 because also the elves themselves were just kind of weird. Like, Dingle, Wingle, Zingle, Pringle. Like, I don't even know. They all had Ingle names.
Except for Tonta.
Tonta. Why was she named Tonta and then all of a sudden we get Santa?
Yeah.
Why does he have a similar first name to her?
I don't know. She's a matriarch?
I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, they also said, like, that's how he got his name because he's good at Santa. And I'm like, okay, so what's... It's similar to Tonta.
I think it's supposed to be that it's a play on Saint.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I didn't get that part.
I make that connection because it's Santa Claus and Saint Nick and, yeah, all that.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think the supporting characters just deserve 2.5. There was, like, some good... And helped the storyline along, kind of.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say there wasn't anything too bad. It was just more of like...
It just kind of aided in the weirdness of it, the movie as well. So that's why I docked it.
So
all that brings all us that. To...
our totals. I gave Santa Claus is Coming to Town a total score of 13 candy canes out of 25.
And I gave Santa Claus is Coming to Town a total of 12 candy canes out of 25.
For an average of 12 and a half candy canes out of 25. Right now we're at exactly half. Yeah. But!
There is the cringe factor.
Icicle sound. Icicle crashing.
If you don't know where that came from, go back like two episodes.
Yeah. I think it was episode 10. What was your... cringe score?
Okay, so I gave it a cringe factor of 2.5 icicles out of 5 icicles, mm-hmm. because I think a lot of, like, my weirdness was put into my regular scores.
Yeah.
So, like, my issues with the plot,
yeah,
for the most part, put in with my plot score and, like, my issue with Chris and Santa and, like, all of his creepiness.
Yeah.
But beyond all of that, there was still just, like, some cringiness and some weirdness.
Yeah.
Again, I think this special was aimed towards children, so, like, when something's aimed for kids, typically it's gonna be, like, a little cringy and, like, okay, come on now.
Yeah.
For example, when Burgermeister Meister Burger, he got hurt... He had a thermometer in his mouth, and the doctor pulls it out, and he goes, ah, what I thought, a broken funny bone.
And then he throws a thermometer. Okay, that's a mercury-filled thermometer.
Yes, that. But also, he found a broken bone through a thermometer.
Well, also, I will mention, and this was one thing that I thought about often, if you watch Burgermeister Meister Burger... He's in a wheelchair starting out, and then when he goes to walking, I think the first scene, he has a crutch and the foot wrapped, and then he is walking without a wrap, and then he goes back to wearing a wrap around his foot, and,
really?
And then a crutch, yeah.
I didn't notice all that, but I did notice that there was, like, some weirdness, because, so the doctor says he broke his funny bone. And then all of a sudden, he's dancing around being, like, you know, whatever that song is. Like,
yeah.
The responsibility of a lawmaker or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he's dancing around on his broken funny bone. And then the next time we see him, he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Are you in a wheelchair because you were dancing around on a broken bone?
Yeah. I was just like, okay.
Maybe it was, like, editing with the claymation and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, maybe it's because, like, this was a better cut and they forgot to put the plaster on.
But yeah.
Yeah, that part got me. I gave it 2 icicles out of 5.
Okay.
For cringe. And I think part of it was, I almost didn't want to dock the movie, but I wanted to give cringe to the writers, because I think it's, like, a writer's responsibility to make sure that things go well and have longevity, and these writers really did not see past a certain point in time.
Yeah.
And maybe didn't think, like, maybe we should use a different approach. I don't know. But the cringe came for me was in the actual things that they said or sang. And I was like, that made me move. That made me squirm up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I had quite a few moments of being, like, physically cringing. Like, ew.
Yeah.
Like, my face was just like, ew. And there was something else that was like, oh. I think this is also why so it was cringy, but it also was why I had some positives in the supporting character.
Yeah.
Winter, when they escape, he goes, I do still have some magic left. I'm not such a loser after all.
Yeah, I remember that. And I was like, Winter has self-esteem issues. Like, we should address that.
Yeah.
But anyways, or do you have anything else?
No, I have this random thing. I was just looking at my notes.
Yeah.
And this is definitely very 2023, but when Jessica goes to the dungeon, she's like, I want to help, but I don't know how. When I was hearing it, all I could hear was the Progressive commercial when he's like, I want to tell you, but I don't think I can. I don't think I can. Like, for some reason, it was like the same cadence.
Yeah.
And it's like all I heard in my head. Okay, anywho. So we have a total cringe deduction of 4.5.
Icicles. You gotta slash that from the 12.5. And that gives you 8 candy canes out of 25. Sad. That's a tough blow. Because when I chose it, I was like, this one might be up there. And it did.
You watched it again.
So that is it for our Christmas reanimated category. We have finished our movies. And so now we get to hear our rankings. In first place and moving on to our bracket play is VeggieTales, the toy that saved Christmas with 18.5 candy canes.
That is how you do an animated Christmas movie that's aimed for kids, but also is exciting for adults, okay?
It's a good one.
Any movie producers, take notes.
Yeah, just go and watch that one and then recreate it. Try your best. In second place is the classic A Charlie Brown Christmas with 15.5 candy canes. And that movie will also go to bracket play. So that's exciting. I'm glad that it made it. I enjoyed that one very much. And I thought it had the same message or a similar message to VeggieTales. Toy Safe Christmas. And so I enjoyed it. And in third place, sadly not making it to bracket play. This is the last time we will be seeing this movie is Barbie in the Nutcracker with 14.25 candy canes out of 25. Close. It was close between Charlie Brown Christmas and Barbie Nutcracker. Just a little bit more cringe, I think.
Yeah.
And in last place is Santa Claus is Coming to Town with 8 candy canes out of 25. So this movie was one that just showed you that sometimes things just don't age well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate. But tune in next week. We're starting our new category. We are looking at Countdown to Christmas, which looks at the Christmas movies made by Hallmark Channel. And we will be looking at our first movie, which is about a girl named Emily who doesn't want to experience Christmas but gets forced to do it anyway by her parents who leave her to go find a house in Florida. This is Haul Out the Holly. So tune in next week for our new category and some new movie experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Adriana.
Have a holly jolly day. Bye.
Sayonara.